Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Felicia.
I'm Lauren.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
Oh, yeah. And today I know, because we texted about it, we're both talking about stories of women.
Mm-hmm.
True stories. So yes. No proven true stories this week of two very different women. So I'm excited for that.
Only the facts.
Only the facts, baby. Maybe a little gossip.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess first recommendations, I don't have anything really. I've been rewatching Grey's Anatomy. I say rewatching. I never actually made it past maybe the fifth or sixth season when I originally watched it. Did I ever tell you this? Because I started getting so paranoid about me having medical issues.
Stop. Really?
I got a molar removed because one of the characters gets like skin cancer from a mole that she finds in her back. And so I said, I have moles. I'm insane. And so I stopped watching it. And now for some reason, I've decided to watch it again. Why? I don't know.
If you see Felicia in the hospital, you'll know why.
Yeah, you'll know why.
And she's mysterious, probably fine. Unknown. Yeah, an unknown illness. Yeah. The doctors can't find anything.
Oh my gosh. The doctors can't find anything. Yes. Okay. Do you have any real recommendations?
I love that. I need to watch Grey's Anatomy, but I've never watched it. Scandal.
It's a lot. It's fine. It's okay.
It's a big undertaking. But yeah. I finally saw The Whale, which I had been really excited about seeing.
I want to see that.
Brendan Fraser. I really liked
it. Did you see the play? It's a hard watch. I never saw the play.
No. Yeah. I didn't either. Oh. It feels like it would be a good play. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. But it was didn't hard to watch. It's very sad.
It's a hard watch. I will say it did not, like, I sort of thought it would hit me more. It's very sad. It's hard to watch. But, like, I honestly, like, didn't cry, even though I thought I would. So, I don't know. It's a great performance. I love Sadie Sink. And she's so good in it, too.
Oh, I didn't even know she was in it. That's great.
She plays his daughter, and she does a really good job. And he's obviously amazing, and I hope he wins. And then my real recommendation is I saw Scream last night, the new Scream.
I was wondering if you saw it last night. Well, I haven't seen it yet, but tell me the gist.
Do you want me to say anything? I know. Should I say anything or not?
Yeah. No spoilers, obviously, but just tell me your general thoughts, I guess.
I liked it a lot.
Oh, good. Okay. A lot
better than the last one.
Really? Interesting.
I know. Okay. I know, and I feel bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I feel bad because I am sad that Neve Campbell's not in it. And I thought I would miss her a lot more. I mean, I do miss her. Like, you still want her in it. But honestly, like, the way that the plot goes, I would be so fascinated.
You're not thinking about her not being in it?
No. I would be so curious as to see, like, if there was ever a script that had her in it. Like, where she would fit in.
Interesting. But, interesting.
Yeah.
And it takes place in New York.
Was that
fun?
It was really fun. I'm nervous you're going to have some of your old anxieties brought back to life, but maybe not.
Can't wait. I'm sure there's going to be a subway moment where I'm just like, oh, God.
I had a moment, but not like the part that you see in the trailer is obviously really good and really scary, but there's like a part where there's just a bunch of people on the subway that I was like, like.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
The public transportation anxiety is so real. It's like, I understand it's such a blessing to have a public transportation system in New York City, but oh my God, it's also like hell.
It's so
like
hell.
If I die and go to hell, you better believe they will put me on a subway full of people I don't want to be around. I know that for a fact. So I have to be really good in this life to not end up there.
I love that. It's true. And I will say, obviously, Jenna Ortega is amazing.
Oh,
I still don't like Melissa Barrera, but what are we going to do?
Nothing.
She's in it. She's just there. She's just hooked. But yeah. And obviously, Hayden Panettiere. Love her being back. Love Kirby being back.
Oh, that's so great. So great. Love Kirby. Yeah. I mean, I don't know when I'll see it. My dream would be tomorrow, but we'll see what happens.
But I'll keep you posted.
I want to see it in theaters. I don't want to wait. So, yeah. But I'll let you know.
I love that. Please do.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing. All right. I'm going for it. Here we are.
Do it.
Today I'm covering a woman that is known by the name the Giggling Granny, which makes me very uncomfortable.
Yes.
You already know something is wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't like it already.
So, so this is the story of the American serial killer, Nanny Doss, who was born in 1905, died in 1965, and she is responsible for the deaths of 11 people between the 1920s and 1954 when she was finally caught and sent to jail.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people, Nanny. The name she was actually born was Nancy Hazel, but from the time she was a child, they started calling her Nanny. And she was born in Blue Mountain, Alabama, and she was one of five kids. Her and her family lived on a farm that they worked on. She went to school up through like the sixth grade, but even then was like a little bit interrupted education-wise because her family, and this is like very just average of the time with farming families, she was pulled out of school a lot to work on the family farm. And by the time she finished sixth grade, she just stopped going altogether. She had a very strict family. So her father was apparently very controlling, abusive. He didn't let the daughters wear makeup or wear, they say, any attractive clothing, but I guess just like they wanted them to look very like plain Janey because he believed that that was going to protect them from men in the world. So he was very concerned about them getting molested specifically, which is strange. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand, but according to Nanny, that throughout her childhood, she had been molested by multiple grown men. So I'm like,
whoa, okay. Wasn't working.
So seems like it did not work. She also, her and her sisters were not allowed to go to any like town dances or any social events. So she spent a lot of time inside, and her favorite hobbies were reading her mother's romance magazines.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. So this nanny loved a romantic story. And in particular, she was very into the Lonely Hearts column of magazines at the time, which were sort of like what we call now like personals or classifieds or whatever. But people looking for someone to date or to marry. So these personal ads were put in newspapers back from like the beginning of our country, which I think is really interesting.
I always think of the Escape the Pina Colada song.
What?
You know, the what is that song called? The Pina Colada song? You know? If you like Pina Colada. Yeah.
Oh.
When he like talks about, he puts the ad in the newspaper and then his wife ends up being the other side. Well, it's like, I don't think it would work out, right? Wouldn't you be like, you were cheating on me? You were trying to cheat on me.
Ah! Oh my God. So Lonely Hearts Clubs, they were basically, they're just lists of personal advertisements for people that were looking for someone to love. Sort of the old version of dating apps, I guess.
Yes.
So, she was really into reading those. And she obviously loved like romance novels and romance magazines. Like all this stuff was like amazing to her. And she just dreamed of finding love and finding a man to marry was like her whole goal. And then she ended up being married many, many times.
Nailed it.
So she nailed it. Her first marriage at age 16. So she had been working in a linen factory. And this is not so unheard of at the time. Like my meemaw is from Georgia and she was married at 15.
Whoa.
So it's just that's kind of how it was back in the day. And so she was married at 16 to this man named Charlie Braggs. And she had only known him for a few months, but somehow her father approved. And so she married him. And she directly moved in with him and his mother, so her mother-in-law. And he had,
it's a tough situation.
You can guess it did not go well.
Too many ladies in the house.
Yes. And so, and he really didn't have any other family. except for his mother, who was very controlling towards Nanny, wouldn't even let Nanny's mother come and like stay overnight in the house, like was just like very intense. So this being her first marriage, she did have four children between 1923 and 1927. So she had them in rapid succession. And
wait, four children in 4 years?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Knocking them out.
And so she, that was very stressful. They also, even though this wasn't necessarily such a thing at the time, they think she definitely had some like postpartum depression. She started heavily drinking and smoking to like cope with all of this. And the marriage was falling apart. So both partners were unhappy. Both were thinking the other one was cheating on them. Braggs, the husband, would disappear for days on end and come back. It was just a very bad situation.
And all those little kids.
Yes, with all those little kids. And then in 1927, the two middle children, one right after the other, died to suspected food poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Nanny.
Nanny. So soon after this happened, Charlie – and so it was ruled accidental. Both deaths, even though they died separately, both deaths were considered accidental by the courts.
Oh, no.
She got, like, some amount of life insurance off of them. But and throughout this story, like, she gets life insurance every time somebody dies. But she always said once she confessed to these murders that it wasn't about the money. But that does come up again and again. So
it was just about murdering them.
It wasn't about the money. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which is worse. So Charlie, her husband, was pretty much immediate, like, oh my God, you killed our children. So he took their firstborn daughter, Melvina, and ran. But he left the newborn, Florine, behind with Nanny.
Oh my God.
And with his stepmother, who was still living in the – I mean, sorry, with his mother that was living in the house. So he fled with Melvina, peaced out.
That feels like such a man thing too, right? Like he's like, I can't deal with the newborn, so.
Yeah, I'm going to leave the newborn? Oh my God, it's insane. So anyways, Bragg's mother did die. There doesn't seem to be much suspicion about how she died, but I mean, you never know with Nanny. But – she ended up taking a job in a cotton mill to support Florine and herself. And in 1928, a year later, her husband shows up with another woman.
Oh,
and no. Yes. And to divorce Nanny so that he can marry this other woman. And leaves Melvina and Florine now with Nanny.
Oh, God. He said, I'm not taking any of the kids.
He basically came, even though he knows that she killed two of their children, he came just to get a divorce and drop off Melvina.
He sounds like a piece of poop.
Yep, that's correct. No one in this story is a good person, to be clear. Okay.
That's awful.
Yeah. Then, okay, so that was, let's see, 1928. 1929, just the next year, she gets married to another man named Robert Franklin Harrelson, and they lived together with their two children. And after a few months, she starts to find things out about him that she didn't know when they got married. For example, he was an alcoholic, and he had a criminal record for assault, and it was not a great marriage, but she was married to him for the longest time, which was 16 years. So wow. That was a long time. So she did.
That's a really long time.
She got remarried immediately, but they did last for 16 years. To the point that she actually ended up having a grandchild from Melvina. So Melvina had a child named Robert Lee Haynes in 1943. This is very dark. Lauren, I'm just preparing you. Everyone listening, I'm just preparing you. It's about to get very bad if you want to skip this part. So she had one child, and then 2 years later, she had another baby who died soon after birth. So after she gave birth, she was groggy from like the medications and exhausted from the labor. And in her this kind of like state, she felt like she saw her, or she says that she saw her mother visiting with the baby, and she watched her mother stick a hat pin into the baby's head.
Oh my God.
I know. It's very dark. And then when their husband – so then the baby died. And so nobody could see why somehow. I don't know. But Nanny is the one that told them that the baby was dead and that she was holding a hat pin when she told them. Yeah.
She's just a murderer.
Somehow – and I don't know how this happened – somehow the doctors could not give a positive explanation for how the child died. I don't know. So the two parents, the Melvina and her husband, eventually broke up. She started dating somebody else. Nanny did not like the new man that Melvina was dating. And unclear exactly how this happened, but or why this happened, I guess. But she had been watching Robert, the other child, mm-hmm. in 1945, and he mysteriously died under Nanny's care from asphyxiation of unknown causes.
She's just murdering children.
She's just murdering anyone she comes in contact with. Yes, she's murdering lots of children. So at this point, God. She's murdered four children, okay? And then she's going to start murdering everyone else. So
oh God.
In 1945, apparently her husband, Harrelson, so she's been with him for 16 years. He had been out celebrating the end of World War II, like at these like, I mean, drinking with his friends, whatever. He came home super drunk. And then she says that he was very drunk, came in and raped her. And so the next day, she put rat poison in his corn whiskey jar, and he died later that evening to teach him a lesson.
Wow. You don't want to fuck with her.
Nope. Then, so that was her second husband. So she has one husband that fled because he was scared of her. The second one she killed. Then she meets her third husband, Arlie Lanning, Lanning, I'm not sure, through, Lonely Hearts Column.
Oh my God, her fave.
Her fave. So she met him in Lexington, North Carolina, met him, hung out with him for 3 days, got married after 3 days.
3 days!
That's all it took. I'm also, I can't remember, she might have found her second husband through the Lonely Hearts thing too. I can't remember though. So just like her last husband, Lanning was also an alcoholic, cheated on her, and disappeared and came back and whatever. And eventually he died of what doctors thought was heart failure. And she became this grieving widow in the community. And she found out that when he died, the house that they lived in his will, and maybe because they'd only been married for three, they'd only known each other for 3 days, was not left to her, but was left to his sister. So she had to leave. Shit. So yeah. He dies. She might have killed him. Think she's going to keep the house, and then she has to leave. Mysteriously, the house soon after that burned down. Unclear how. Probably Nanny.
She's loose.
Yep. Nanny ended up getting a hold of the insurance check and cashed it, even though it should have gone to the sister. And yes. And then she starts. Oh my gosh. She's just killing everyone she comes in contact with. It's so crazy. So after this, she goes to stay with one of her sisters, so one of Nanny's sisters, she goes to stay with her because she's in poor health. Shortly after arrival, her sister dies. Not good.
How is no one on to her?
I know. I know. So now she's lost, or she's killed 3 husbands, 4 children, and her own sister. But she's single again. So she's going
to
join.
To mingle.
Yeah, she's single, ready to mingle in the Diamond Circle Club, which was a dating service at the time, where she met Richard L. Morton of Jamestown, North Carolina. They married in 1952 in Kansas. He did not have a drinking problem, but he was a cheater. And during this time in her life, she poisoned him. Rat poison and arsenic were kind of her go-tos. She also went home and poisoned her own mother.
Mm-hmm. Just cause?
She felt that her mother – so her dad was kind of abusive. He had died already. Mm-hmm. And people think that she killed her mother because she felt like her mother never did anything to protect the children from their father. Okay. So
really I guess long that's what happened. Resentment or so grudge holding.
So a lot of her murders seem to be in her mind for revenge or to teach someone a lesson or to get back at them.
Yeah. Except for those two so first kids.
But that was also like, I mean, all this is horrible, right? But in her mind, I think there was like resentment towards having 4 kids in 4 years and being like postpartum depression. And like, once again, these are not sane things.
No, but it felt right in her head.
I guess so. So then she's going to marry her 5th and final husband. She married.
5 is a big number.
I know. Yes. She finally marries Samuel Doss, which is why her name as we know it from when she was arrested is Nanny Doss, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She also moved around a lot in June 1953, which I think is also part of the reason people weren't catching on to her, because she moved states so many times after one of her husband died. And so it's like at this time, there was no database for crimes. So it's like, there was no way for them to know that she had already had like a bunch of dead husbands. You could really get away with a lot at the time. So Doss, the husband, was some sort of minister, and he was very strict with Nanny. So he did not like that she read these romance novels. And pretty quickly, so in about 6 months, it looks like, he is admitted to the hospital with flu-like symptoms and has some sort of digestive tract infection.
Oh, gosh, Nanny.
He is sent home October 5th of 1954 and then dies at home October 12th, 1954. So she collected his life insurance policy, and his sudden death alerted his doctor, and thank God, this doctor, if it wasn't for him, she probably would have just kept going. He ordered an autopsy because he thought the death was suspicious. And the autopsy revealed that he had enough arsenic in his system to kill like 20 people.
Oh my God.
It was very bad. So then she was arrested. So she did plead guilty, but the state of Oklahoma was really mostly focused on the case of the death of Samuel Doss. And at the time, they weren't really giving the death penalty to women. So even though she pleaded guilty in 1955, she was just sentenced to like life imprisonment. Eventually, she did confess to killing 4 of her husbands, her mother, her sister, her grandsons, and her mother-in-law.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's so many people. But
it's so many people. She was actually never charged with those other deaths. She was only technically charged at the death of Samuel Doss. She was in prison for about 10 years, and then she ended up getting leukemia and died in prison in 1965.
Wow.
Yes. So we already talked about some of like the emotional reasons that this woman used in her mind to, you know, explain these murders, or that she's mentioned in interviews that happened to her when she was a kid that might explain her murderous tendencies, is sort of a classic serial killer thing that we've heard about time and time again, She was on a train with her family as a young child, and the train at some point abruptly stopped, and she flew forward out of her seat and banged her head on a metal pole. Yep. Banged her head on a metal pole, and from that point started to suffer from like these crazy migraines, blackouts, and a lot of depression issues. So a lot of people think that that also contributed to her murdering everybody she came in contact with.
Wow.
And that is the story of Nanny Dawes. Nanny.
Nanny. She's got a lot going on. That was a lot of people and a lot of stealthy poisoning.
Yeah. I mean, she just got away with it for so long, but I really think it's because she was just moving states every time.
Yeah, I think you're right. Especially at that time, she was just like moving on. And I feel like that's like one of the more interesting, like, you know, I feel like there's like a lot of stories, or maybe I don't know. I feel like you hear a lot about women marrying men and killing them, but there was like a lot of children and mothers. And
yes. There's also a really great, you can watch an interview of her being talked to in jail about, I mean, she's denying the murders in the interview, but it is like very spooky to hear her talk. But there's also, you know, this thing where she's talking about like this is not in the interview, but this is separate, about the Lonely Hearts Club stuff and the romance stuff, where it's like every time she got married, she felt like she hadn't found the right mate. And so she would just kill him and try again.
Clean cut, you know, just it's crazy. Clean slate.
And the only one that got away was the first one, because he was like, you're a murderer, and ran.
But left the kids. I still can't believe that.
Left the kids. It's terrible.
Man, that is a wild story, but it was so good.
Yeah.
Just so interesting.
Yeah. That's it. That's Nanny.
Man, Nanny. All right. Well, that was wild. And it was like, yeah, it was pretty salacious somehow, too. Hey guys, this week got a little lengthy, so we decided to split it into two episodes. Until then, we hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares. Bye.